name is Paola Testa. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. The date is the 7th of August 2009 and the time is 2011. Please could you tell me your name, your date of birth and where you're from?
Okay, my name's Andy Dabatsky, born on the 3rd of September 84, and I'm originally from Jersey and now live in Bristol, where I'm doing my PhD.
Did you move over to Bristol from Jersey?
No, I came to live in Britain when I came to university. That was in Cambridge, and I moved to Bristol to do my PhD. I think it's you don't want to stay in one place for too long, so I wanted to go to Bristol, and it's turning out very well.
What's your PhD?
Right, well, I'm not going to spend the entire time telling you what it's about, but I'm a seismologist, which means I study the interior of the Earth, the structure of how the Earth is composed using seismic waves. So when an earthquake goes off somewhere in the world, just like if you knock on something, the sound waves travel through, and when you measure them at another place with a seismometer, you can get information out of that wave that tells you what the structure is like. And that's what I do. I look at this sound at the very bottom of the Earth's mantle, which is sort of the outside half, and it's made of rock. There's a very thin layer, a few hundred kilometres thick, with the terrible name of D double prime. So I study this D double prime layer, and more specifically I'm just trying to tell you something about how the Earth works using that one, because it's quite interesting compared to the rest of the mantle. And that's a summary of my PhD.
And you studied at Cambridge before that?
And I did. Well, I started out thinking I was going to be a physicist, and it's very interesting, but I realised I wasn't a mathematical genius, so I couldn't really do physics, so I did geology instead, and I ended up doing more geophysics than geology, and ended up doing a quite physics-y geophysics PhD, so I kind of came full circle, but I skipped out the hearts of maths in the meantime, and that's what I ended up doing.
And have you always had an interest in those subjects, or is it something you've found later on?
Yeah, well, I've always been a bit of a scientist. And when I look back now, I realise that when I was a kid, I was actually quite interested in, it was specifically sort of the deep earth structure of the earth and how it all works, you know, plate tectonics, all that sort of stuff. And when I look back, I now realise that actually I was always interested in it, but I didn't quite know that at the time, and got a bit sold on the likes of Stephen Hawking and that, who talk a load of rubbish about made up theories about the universe that are quite sexy and glamorous, but you can't actually work on. So, and also, being a geologist is quite nice. Get to go on field trips and wander around and drink a bit. And I'm off to Ethiopia. There's all the perks that are actually, you don't realise that you get as a geologist that you don't, compared to someone who does their experiments in a lab. So it's got drawn into it from interest and the fact that it's actually quite a nice life, which is why you don't get paid much for being an academic, you realise, because you have the freedom to come into work when you like and bugger off early to pick up the kids or whatever, but that's why I don't get paid very much.
What will you be doing in Ethiopia?
I'm going to go and help install some seismometers. Now, Ethiopia is part of Africa, so you have the East African Rift, the Rift Valley. And what's happening there is Africa's breaking up, and we don't know what's going to happen. It'll be millions of years in the future, but Africa's basically pulling apart along that rift, and for some reason it is, and it might become an ocean there, or it might stop and might become a nice place for oil in a few hundred million years' time. But because it's quite interesting and we want to know how it works, we put a load of seismometers out, we lay out hundreds of them, try and space them reasonably closely. And so it's a question of going out there and finding suitable sites, and you chat to the locals and pay them to not steal your equipment. And quite often they take it on themselves to look after it very nicely, build a little garden around it and have a little fence. So we work with schools, we put it in there, and we sort of have the kids interested in it, and that means it's less likely to get stolen and things like that. So work in Ethiopia is basically putting out these seismometers. We leave them there for a while. They record how the Earth shakes, and we correlate that to an earthquake that's happened on the other side of the world. And we use these body waves, as they're called, to study what's going on down there.
And is it often something that involves a local community or people in the area?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a it's not a hugely exciting thing leaving a piece of metal in a hole for a few years. So are you, you know, it's always good to try and get, it's always in countries like Ethiopia where there's not really very much sort of crime, it's not so much a problem, it's more making them feel not threatened by it and not worried about the fact that we have Westerners coming in. And when especially in regions like that, there's lots of violence. So there are places such as Iran where you turn the back for a minute and they'll whip it out of the ground and use the solar panel for something else because that provides the power for it. So it's important on a practical level just to get your experiment done to engage them, but also you want them to be interested in what you're doing, and you want to, you know, you always want to think that other people are interested in what you're interested in too. I mean, there are sort of there's a big project in America where they're, because they're Americans and they've got billions of dollars to throw at it, they're just doing the entire country, they're covering the entire thing with millions of seismometers, and they're installing them all in schoolyards and national parks and things like this, and it's all part of an outreach program, which is great, which is exactly what we should be doing.
And when you finish your PhD, do you know what you'll do after that?
Well, I quite want to still be a scientist, you know, who knows, but I'm going to try and stay in academia and get a job and carry on researching, is the plan anyway.
And the One Another project, how did you first hear about it, and what is it that inspired you to apply?
Well, most things, I heard about it on the radio. It was probably on the Today programme, and I immediately thought it was a great idea because I do quite like the idea of being part of a sort of nice public art project. It's something to look back on in the future, and I thought it was you know, going to be a bit of fun, really. So I, for those reasons, as well as reasons that I'll just talk a bit about now, is I find it very interesting because also when you do have these public works of art, it really does change. It's changed very, very much the sort of the traditional individual who works and does something, you know, traditionally for some sort of patron or out of their own tortured genius, and it then gives everyone else a chance to be involved. And whilst it's, you know, you can argue as to the actual inherent worth of the art, it's just great that people get a chance to be involved, and people that maybe feel a bit left out of these things are allowed to go and do it. I mean, not me, I'm a very middle class you know, educated person, but it's great that everyone gets a chance to sit and talk about it and poo-poo it if they like, but yeah, and some of us get to have a go and hang around as a bit of art for a while, which I think is nice as well. So lots of reasons why it's worthwhile doing, and also very interesting for me personally.
And what does it mean to you to be a part of the project and one of 2,400 people up on that plinth?
Well, I mean, you say that it's the people elected sort of in randomly, but in proportion to some set of criteria. I mean, all I can think is that there weren't many PhD students from Bristol that were 24 that applied, but I'm very glad to be selected. I don't feel like I've got anything more to add to it than anyone else, and so the fact that everyone's got their own thing to do is pretty the point of it, and what I think is the point of it. So it's you know, what it means to me is that it's just I get a chance to stick my oar in and bend it a little bit to how I think it should work, which is obviously quite arrogant, but that's the way I am.
And what will you be doing for the hour?
Well, I'm going to be an Anthony Gormley sculpture. Now, I think people of the British public, the international public, have got now quite a good idea about him as a sculptor, and you have his sculptures that he casts of himself all over the place these days. You know, they're on Crosby Beach, they were all over London for a while. I think quite often they seem to be on the left hand side of the escalator in the tube. They just get everywhere. So I think we sort of, everyone has a sort of relationship with these artworks that he leaves lying around on, you know, like sticking out the side of a building in Eton or whatever. So I'm gonna be one of them, as it were. And so then I think that's quite interesting. I mean, I'm not sure everyone else does, but I think it's quite interesting that there is a man pretending to be a sculpture, because the sculpture has become something that's so well known that everyone has reference to it. And so that's what I'm going to do. And I hope that someone might actually see me and think for a minute that it is a metal sculpture and not a person pretending to be a metal sculpture of a person. But we'll see. If someone does, if someone thinks that, then that's quite nice. I'd like that.
And how exactly will you be morphing yourself into this sculpture?
Well, it's 3 hours in makeup, but I'm gonna put on some stocking, well, some tights that I got from the shop, and a bit of sort of theatrical body water-based paint. Put that over, and actually, that's in test. That makes not a unrealistic sort of rusting cast iron look. So I'm gonna strip down my pants, put loads of things on, and paint over that in the body paint. And also got a few little cardboard discs which are acting as the injection points for the mold casting that I believe is done for these figures. So I'm gonna have quite large nipples and spots on my legs and my bum and my back out of these cardboard discs I'll probably have to sew into the tights. So that's how I'm going to achieve my effect.
And what impact would you like to have by going up on the plinth and doing this?
Oh, it's just nice if you can make someone's day a little bit more interesting. I mean, I think as one of 2,400, you're not gonna have a big influence on the whole project, and you're not going to have an influence on the news or government policy or anything, but if a few people that are around think it's quite a nice idea, then that will be more than enough for me. I mean, you're not going to influence people, but you know, hopefully be able to give them a little chuckle.
What would you like to take away from it?
I'd like to leave behind all of the body paint, for one. I've got a t-shirt to take away, that's lovely, in lieu of my £1 from Sky Arts. And I'd just like to take away not pneumonia from standing on the plinth, but thankfully it's not going to rain today. And just a warm feeling inside. I think there are some good memories. An hour's going to fly by. I mean, I can sit with my own thoughts for time motionless, so it's not going to be a problem. In fact, I was thinking this on the train on the way in today. Lots of people will fidget all the time and doing that thing where they shake their legs up and down and that. They've got lots of excess energy. I don't have that. I haven't got any excess energy. I can sit completely motionless for ages. So I hope you won't take away any sore body parts or any uncomfortable feelings or any areas where the tights have been a little bit too tight.
And if people shout up at you or want to interact, what will you do?
Well, I see, it's interesting because I really hate those living sculpture people that you get like around Covent Garden and that. I just find it so annoying. So I am becoming one, which is bad, but I don't really want to interact with people, to be honest with you. This obviously says something about me as a sort of autistic scientist person, the fact that I just want to shut myself up inside a little hole and not talk to anyone. But I don't know, I would like to not to be, you know, stone still and not react. And I think I'm not going to have a huge crowd of people or anything, I don't think. I think most people see nothing's happening and get bored and walk off. But that's what most sculptors are like, so that's fine.
To help us get an idea of you as a person, what would you say the things that are important to you in life at the moment?
Important to me in life at the moment? I mean, I want to do some good science, so my career is quite important. Also, all my friends are important to me, my girlfriend, and generally getting on and trying to make people's lives that you bump into slightly easier by, you know, sort of giving them a hand upstairs if they're doddery or whatever. So at the moment, very much it's a case of avoiding bad rather than doing anything too spectacular. Very cosy, safe little thing. And getting in plenty of cricket and listening to the Ashes.
And when you put up your profile, you had to describe yourself in 3 words.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe yourself now in a few more words?
That's quite a hard question, I would say, to answer. I mean, I actually, I got the email and it had been sent into the spam inbox of my computer, and I was flicking through it, and I got to admit, I was, you know, it was quite late at night, just coming back from the pub, and I found it and thought, oh dear, when's the, you know, I hope I haven't missed the cutoff date. It said that, you know, the time at which I would lose my place and someone else would be allocated that one was in about 5 minutes' time. It was about 5 to midnight. So I panicked, went on the internet, you know, said I'll do it, and filled in my profile then. So I can't even remember what the three things that were on my profile are, because I've not since managed to get onto the account because I forgot the details and things. So I would say only three words now. I would probably give you scientists, Jersey. Get a Jersey in there, that's always nice, since that's where I'm from. Not too many people are. And good times.
And to finish, how would you describe or summarise your experience of the project since you first applied and to this moment now? How has that journey been for you?
Very efficient. Everyone phoning me up was very nice. It was quite funny having the Sky Arts media people around as well. They're all very lovely, very excitable. Everyone's quite excitable. I think I'm just quite boring in comparison, but everyone's been there. There's been a lot of sort of Tamaras on the phone. There's a lot of people who you think, like, yeah, you know, good for you volunteering for this sort of thing, but is Dad paying for this or what? Yeah, everyone's been very nice, and it's been very efficient, and I think everyone's certainly been made to feel very, very at ease and welcome, and it's certainly made me feel very welcome anyway.
Excellent, thank you.